already made some of the mistakes that are going to expose this stuff massively on a global scale. And this is a great time to be alive, this. Because it's not even a few years hence that this stuff is going to start to come out, so it's played out in the public arena. I think we're talking months, 6 months at most, before this is played in the public arena. Because the undercurrent of energy, this transformative energy, in the healing crisis between one state of being and a new state of being, is bringing this stuff up. And there's no way it can be stopped. And my feeling is that this is a multidimensional purification. Just my view. I think the three-dimensional world has been manipulated from the fourth dimension, and that it is that manipulation which is the common theme and the common thread between the thousands of years of manipulation of this planet. And I think aspects of that fourth dimensional consciousness have been coming in and out, in and out, in and out, which is why so often the focus of the manipulation, at least in the upper reaches of the pyramid, focuses on certain families. Because if you can set it up with families, it means that you know that when your consciousness becomes incarnate again, you're already going to be immediately indoctrinated into the game plan, and you're going to start to remember and start to understand from a very early age the indoctrination in, out, in, out, in, out, in, out, in, out. So effectively, the same aspects of consciousness have been coming in and out of the three-dimensional world for thousands of years under different names and physical personalities, basically doing the same thing. I feel that this fourth-dimensional purification is in advance of ours, and that basically the global elite have lost mission control. They are guiding power. So they're basically now in a situation where they're working only on their three-dimensional mind. They're only working on their knowledge of how the thing works and how intellectually you manipulate people. But the big picture's gone. And so I feel that at the same time, more and more people who are opening to the positive side of this are actually getting in touch with higher and higher levels of their mission control. Which means that the process of change, the balance of consciousness, is rapidly switching from the few who've controlled the world to the many who are now waking up. And so I think, you know, if you look at a dam, the period of time it takes for the pressure of the water to cause the little cracks in the dam which lead to the big cracks can be a very, 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 very long time. Once the cracks start to appear in a dam, the period between then and the collapse of the dam is very short. I think the cracks are obviously showing, and I think the dam's going to collapse very, very quickly, and in a period of years. I see the period, myself anyway, of the dam really collapsing and the upheaval of change really being obvious as we switch from ignorance to enlightenment, between now and 2004, something like that, 2005. And then by the time we get to 2012, 2013, we'll be seriously coming out of the transitional period into the next period of human evolution. So it's a great time to be alive, and we've chosen to be here, and we've chosen to be here for a reason. And that's because we wanted to be part of this transformation. The other thing I think is happening is that we talk about the internet. Well, the internet's very good and all that stuff, but it can be full of disinformation as well as good information. You've still got to use the antennae. You've still got to use the antennae to see whether it feels right or whether it doesn't. I think there was a tendency, certainly in Britain, when the internet first started to motor, that anything on the internet was good stuff. Well, who the hell's putting it on? Who's putting the child pornography on so that they can have a problem reaction solution to shut down parts of the internet? You know, I mean, it's disinformation is open to be used like everywhere else. But I think we have our own internet, which is showing itself more and more. I feel that incarnate in the world today are very large numbers of people who have come into incarnation specifically to play a role in both exposing the control and building a very different world that comes out of it once the control collapses. We have spent a long time in our lives preparing for this time, so we've had certain experiences that have led us to certain conclusions and the experiences we needed to a certain point. But I feel the preparation's over now. And it's time to do it. And as a result of that, this vibration of vibration, magnetic vibration we send out, has within it, if you like, just for want of a term, a volunteer consciousness vibration. And that is now pulling together all over the world more and more people into the groups and into the relationships which were long planned for this period of do it after the preparation's over. And it's no accident that more and more people of like mind, of like vibration, in other words, are actually being pulled together more and more, because this is do it time. People say, you know, that you need courage. Well, you only need courage if you've got fear, because courage is the ability to overcome fear. When you step out of fear, you don't need courage, because there's nothing to overcome. It's the difference between standing there just before you do something and you're saying, well, shall I, shan't I, oh God, can I summon the courage? Okay, go. It's the difference between that and saying, I believe to this to be right. Just do it. Without any fear whatsoever. Because fear attracts reflections of itself. And people have said to me, you're not going to say all that stuff in America, they'll bump you off. And I've said, no, they won't. You are taking a bodyguard, right? No, I'm driving on my own. Because if I'm not in fear, then nothing's going to happen. Because I'm not working in the vibrational range that the people who use fear are working in. And if we're not in any way vibrationally connected, we cannot be physically connected. They cannot harm me if I'm not in fear. It was kind of funny. I was talking to Mark Phillips in a conference in Denver. Mark Phillips, who's deprogrammed Kathy O'Brien. And he said that he was given two bits of advice to stay alive by an insider in the intelligence network. Because there are some good people in there who, I think the intelligence network is increasingly at war with itself. Those who want to expose this stuff and those who want to impose it. I think it's imploding from within. But the advice that Mark Phillips was given was two things. One, let go of fear. And the second one was, keep talking. And the let go of fear, you think, well, what relevance is that? Well, it's actually very relevant. Because once you're in fear, you're actually playing on the playing field vibrationally of the people you're frightened of. They've got control of you. And also, they can have a physical connection with you, because they've got a vibrational connection with you. And it's kind of interesting, you know. The people who are most in fear, researchers, I've found, anyway, the people who are researching the conspiracy who are most in fear of being badly treated by the people they're exposing are invariably the people who are badly treated by the people they're exposing, physically. And I think, to an extent, it's another aspect of the most destructive imagination of ourselves, state of being that we can be in, and that's poor me, the victim mentality. You know, I talk to people sometimes and they reel off. Someone said to me, I'm lucky to be here, you know, the government are after me, and oh my God. I said, well, if you keep in that state, they'll flipping keep going after you. Because you're going to attract to you what you most fear. And I think it's about time that we stop wearing hassle by the government as like a war wound or a combat medal. You know, and just do it. Just get on with it. Oh yeah, but what would they do? And they might do this and what? Oh, just get on with it. You know, because if you don't, then you're going to attract to you what you fear. And stepping out of fear is you only know what a prisoner is when you step out of it. Because I could have feared for England, me, earlier in my life. Could have been guilty for England. Could have represented me country at feeling guilty. All these things. And experiencing those emotions and then coming through them, you really do see just what a prison they are. And if we let go of fear, then we've let go of the only power that anyone has over us. You just do it. And one of the people say, yeah, but it's easier said than done. What I would say is, if anyone's in fear of speaking out, speaking their truth, because what will other people think of me? Oh my God. Or they're fearing doing something because, oh my God, what would the consequence be? My advice, for what it's worth, is to use the fear itself as the trigger to do it and say it. So if you're sitting in a group of people and you're thinking, I'd like to say this here, but wonder what their reaction will be, just say it. And if you want to do something, you think, yeah, but what are the... Just do it. And what you do then is you break this process of having the record needle stuck in the groove. Da-da-da, 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 da-da-da. And you go through that. Before the fear has had a chance to take hold, you've said it, you've done it. And then the record starts to... Because the rut's being broken now, the rut of instant reflex reaction, oh my God, has now broken out. The record's starting to play now. And you start to see, hey, it's not as bad as I thought it was. Because I used to be a soccer player in Britain, professional soccer player years ago. And the worst part of being a soccer player was the half an hour in the dressing room before the game started. Because everything that could possibly go wrong was going wrong through your head. Then you get out on the pitch and you just do it, and it was fine. Thinking about it is so much more difficult than actually doing it. And it's the same with stepping out of fear and being what we are. Because if we talk about having open minds, but through fear of another's reaction, we are allowing our lives and our thoughts and our speech to be controlled by a closed mind, then what's the point of having a closed mind? It's no good having an open mind and a closed mouth. What's the point in that? It doesn't move us any further on. If we have an open mind and an open mouth, then we'll seriously change this flipping world. And we're going to, I think, in very rapid time. And it's going to be done by people at the front of the snowplow who just do it. And it's a great pleasure to be here among people who are just doing it. Thank you very much. Okay, no problem.
David's brought some books and videos, I think, over here, and if anybody's interested in picking up some of those, feel free to come over and take a look, and we'll try and help him out with collecting some money. And
whatever. If somebody could help me out with driving me back the next 4 hours, I'd be happy. This is a big country, isn't it? I could have gone round Britain about, I must have been 30 times doing the miles I've done in America so far. You know.
Don't go away. We don't have short meetings.
All right.
Okay. Would someone please help David with his books, with whatever, because I believe that ones will want to speak with him. And maybe we could have a few questions and a few responses. It's always a pleasure for me to be able just to witness and not always have to be the mouthpiece. I don't know how you feel about it, but it's kind of nice when some, I believe would be his words, flipping bloke comes along and tells you the bloody truth. And you're hearing it more and more and more and more. And these first pioneers who come along and just step out there and do something makes it so much easier for all the rest to come along. Because every one of us working in this arena or working without the backup and the support of what does come from a group where you can have a doctrine out there, let it be a church, which I certainly agree with him, is one of the most appalling things that has ever happened to mankind. Let's call it religion. Let's call it what it is. Because spirituality and religion are almost non-existent. They're oxymoron statements. A religion simply means something you cling to tenaciously, usually with the wrong perception. The time is at hand. The greater beings or greater minds are going to be arriving on your place, invisible frequency, and it's a very uncomfortable place for the higher energies to come. Very disagreeable. But you are like a vibrating rubber band, finely stretched out of all proportion, just vacillating back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, not daring to step out. When you are in the vibration frequency of God, you've got a bubble around you, and you may as well face it. Out on Saturday, back on Tuesday, you may as well not concern yourself about it. He mentions courage twice within the last few days. One, who is setting up the banking coordinates in Greece, said, Doris, how do you have the courage? But she didn't know what the word was. The what? The courage. Are you asking me how you have courage? This doesn't require courage. This is real. I've got the hand of the man. What are we talking about courage? Let's do it. So even Little Crow says to her, my dear, you guys really have an amazing amount of courage. Little Crow, are you talking to me about courage? You see, when you understand the overall picture, or even if you don't understand it, but you've learned how it works, almost everybody else doing anything represents having more courage than you have. And when you get out of this me cycle and move into the we can do it cycle, let's just do it, you get rid of a lot of chaff. You quit having to suffer through all of this. Let's just do it. Let's always open that flexible mind. You pray all the time, please show me the way, and then you immediately close your eyes so you don't have to see the way. Please just tell me what to do, and then you plug your ears. With some of you, you're going to have to get those ears unplugged because you have physically blocked them and you don't hear. So you're living in a world of silence. In many ways, that's good while you're having to adjust to these frequency impulses. But let's not be frightened of these things. Let us always respect our enemy, and it's easy to pick them once you know what you're looking for. It's going to be almost everybody. So it's easier to recognize your friend. And when you talk about courage, it takes guts to stand out there and do what Kathy O'Brien has done and Mark Phillips, especially Kathy. Can you imagine getting out there and tattling on these loathsome politicians and their most intimate bad habits and desires and wishes? And can't you, now that you know these people and you know it to be truth, you know it to be truth, to watch these same idiots up there doing their dance on the political stage in these conventions. Aren't you just disgusted? How could you stand watching your presidential wife running for president? This is a sick world. But it doesn't have to be that everyone is sick. And I think that when people like David understand exactly what we're talking about when we talk about contracts and finances, you're going to have another one with resources as to who to get this to. They develop this for their own use, to take the world, my friends. And it's worse than loaning you money and then charging you interest. And we're going to do them in one step further. We'll pay for the money that we build with up front, so they can't charge us interest. And then we can also tend to our tax situation in a favorable way by having borrowed the money. And they're already paid off. So this just filters down to the smaller uses. You have to have assets. You have to have money to accomplish things in a physical human world. They have spent myriads of years now building toward this planned takeover. And they blew it. They blew it. In their greed, they blew it. And now we have the instrument they built for themselves for the takeover of the world. And now so many people know about it that it's like the pyramid that he's speaking about. if one brick of that foundation falls in the proper order, the building falls. So I would like very much for you ones to get very close to David. It isn't that this man needed no introduction. That's an insult. This man deserves the best introduction anyone could give him in this room or in any place. For him to come from England, he is not only correct about England. England is the one who set the stage for the downfall of this world. And England still is involved in it. But you know what? Out of all of it, England also is being had. And it's time all of you wake up. And more people will be coming to share the truth with you. And when the truth hits you, and you raise up your head out of that little pothole, that tabletop, and you look around you, there are so many things you can do to reverse this thing that we can't even count them. So let's take a break, and then maybe he would honor us with a few questions and answers.
Yeah, great.
Thank you. He really needs some rest, but, I mean, come on. We just take every opportunity we can when we get somebody from the Brotherhood here. Thank you.
Say, Jim Ammerman, let's give him a call. Just to see.
Good morning, Chaplain City. Plumber speaking.
Hi, may I speak to Jim Ammerman, please?
Yes, I was going to say he's on the other line, but I think he just told up. He hung up. May I say he's calling?
This is Rick Martin with Contact Newspaper.
Oh, certainly. Just a moment, Rick.
Before you come in, respect.
Hello, Jim Ammerman here.
Hi, this is Rick Martin with Contact.
Yes.
I got you on the speaker because I have a couple of my associates here and I'm recording while we're speaking. Is that okay?
Sure.
How are you doing? I haven't talked to you for a long time. I imagine there's a lot of interesting developments in the last 2 months.
Well, yes, daily almost, and things aren't getting any better. The people who want to do in our American way of life are determined to press ahead. I think you'd see signs of that all around.
Sure.
And good people that we wake up and then they go to their congressman or some appointed official and they get live and call back and say that's not so. So I'm sitting here now with about 2 feet of documents ahead of me screening out, so I'm going to fax things to people and say, here is what the UN has done, here's what our partner has done, here's what, and so forth. Because we have a lot of liars in high places.
Well, is there anything of significance that you see happening around the country within the last 2 or 3 weeks?
Well, you know that there were 2 or 3 things pulled off in the last week or so. One of them was Operation Osprey on the East Coast with 16 nations participating. I guess you knew about that.
No, I've been actually out of pocket for about a week.
Okay, well, Operation Osprey came about, and the Marines really headed that and did a release on it. And they also did one called Marine Expeditionary Unit number 26, that did a mock invasion of Mobile, Alabama, and principally, though, New Orleans, Louisiana. That was last Saturday and Sunday.
And what was the nature of that?
Well, they were landing helicopters in unannounced places, and they said they would be, because they didn't want crowds there. They were going to use, they were going to have what they call a live fire rubber bullet thing between their military. But and in the center of town, they were going to rappel out of their large helicopters. But as best I can discern what was behind it, they were doing a practice takeover of the key communications places in the city, because that's one of the main relay stations for fiber optic telephone centers. And of course, if you're going to take control of a city and or a population, you immediately take the radio, TV stations, and telephones, and you cut off all communications and you control it. and then you're in charge of information goes out. And I think it was that kind of an exercise because I've been through too many of those little fire drills, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Only now we're practicing on our own people. Now, you know, I guess, or have you seen the picture that came out in Louisiana, the DeRidder newspaper, called the Beauregard Press, about the new $20 million center that's just been completed for training multi-jurisdictional task force people down at Fort Polk, Louisiana?
No, I was aware there was such a thing, but no.
Well, they just, the $20 million project, and it's to train in a concept called MOT, Military Occupations in Urban Terrain. And the cover story is this is to train people for third world country problems. The fact is it's a mock United States city.
That's comforting.
Yeah, real comforting. So, the things just get worse and worse. I have heard numbers now. In fact, they've been addressed to a congressman. I have a copy of the correspondence where a retired Air Force colonel addressed this to his congressman in Virginia, that there are now over 100 detention centers in America. And the congressman is really trying to look into it, but he'll be lied to all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have you heard about the spill of some poison nerve gas?
No.
Well, this just happened about two or three days ago. They're trying to destroy some warheads off of missiles with poison nerve gas, and they were produced principally at Tooele Army Ordnance Depot, just a little ways outside of Salt Lake City. But there are other locations for it, and so the big incinerator is there. But there's evidently been a spill farther away than that because there's a mortuary that received 30 bodies. And I have this in writing, but the person that sent it to me said, if you use my name, my job's gone. They worked there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
They went in to get the death certificates ready, and here were 30 bodies of people undressed, all young people. Five were women and 25 were men, and they had all died at the same time. You know, here's someone that works in the mortuary. They know. They were doing autopsies on them. They were turning a yellow green already, and not from decomposition, but from the effects of the poison.
And where was this?
Well, I can't tell you the city of this person.
Can you tell me the state?
It's in Texas. It's about 500 miles from Salt Lake City, so that puts it in a certain area corner of Texas. But,
mm-hmm.
And the very strange thing was this person had never seen before. See, when people are poisoned, certain things happen to the body. The mouths were all open but drawn inward, and the eyes were crossed. Severely crossed, clear under the nose.
Must have been really painful.
Well, sure, it's agonizing, and maybe it didn't last long, but, it was a terrible death. And nothing's been in the paper about that. Now, we're entitled to know what's going on in our country. Bad news is only worse news if you find it out surreptitiously. Bad news isn't that bad if you're told the truth, but we're not being told the truth.